Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, well, you've probably heard this bit before. What is Technory? Since 2010, Technory has been Chicago's top startup showcase. More than 300 companies have been featured, been on stage, been on the show, and they've gone on to raise a whopping $260+ million in venture funding. We're very proud of that. Joining us on today's show is going to be a person who was on our stage not all that long ago, FetchFind founder and CEO, I presume. We all try to presume. Jamie Migdahl. So welcome first off back to the studio. I don't know. Did we have you on before?
No, I have not. So I feel honored.
So this is the make good.
This is it.
This is the make good. Well, we better actually, you know, do well with it. So why I mentioned the Technory piece is obviously we have our Technory showcase again next Tuesday, February 28th, celebrating Black History Month. Emil Cambry, who is the founder and CEO of Blue 1647, is our keynote. We're working on having Kurt Summers, who is a city treasurer of Chicago, join us there as a guest. So hopefully that's something that we can add to the email list coming up soon here. But your showcase was pretty unbelievable.
It was.
I felt like it was. You say that with a question mark. Like,
no, it was. No, it was. I went over, though.
A
lot over. And you were very kind about it.
I have to tell you, 2017, we are not so kind.
Oh.
I'm working on a few little pieces here. You know, obviously, and you're a person to ask this about because you went through the experience. So we had the prep session with Square Planet. We are working on making that digital.
Okay.
This is the first month that we're doing this where we've put together some video sequences for you to, like, as a founder, as a speaker, that you can just keep. Like, here's some advice and here's how you should do this. And then you can prep, create your slide deck, so to speak, and then do a Google Hangout with them and have direct feedback. That way everyone's not sitting for 3 hours, like, hearing people get ripped apart. I think we miss a little bit of the back and forth part of it, but I think it makes it more sort of succinct.
So let me share an experience I had.
Yeah.
First of all, that totally makes sense from a kind of from a framework perspective and from an efficiency perspective. So I'm in I just got finished with Wisdom Accelerator, and I'm currently in a PWE down in St. Louis, Prosper Women. So I'm in like massive pitch prep mode every single second these days and getting a lot of great experience around what works and what doesn't work. And I do think that there's a great balance to have between hearing people, as you said, get ripped apart. Because I'll tell you, when you're in the hot seat, I just record it and go back and listen later. But I feel like when I'm listening to other people get feedback, I'm taking notes like crazy.
You know, and I felt that way too. And I know that like part of it is just a matter of time and bandwidth. I
mean, always.
Square Planet is there. And then the reality is I know, based on last month's showcase, that we're going to do more of them like that. We had people flying in from other places. We had people from Palo Alto to New York coming in.
Sure.
It just becomes like really difficult to manage. And like yourself, I mean, you're now in St. Louis and like it's just, it's really hard to balance everyone's schedule out. So we're certainly going to lose out a little bit, I think, on the inter kind of communication part where you get to witness other people get torn down.
But you know what, though? You know what happened, though? I will tell you something, which I think is really valuable, and you may not even know this. So from that kind of multiple teardown session, I ended up meeting Farah from
Farah
Return
Cardelli.
Runners, right? She and I got together the next day and sat at my office for a couple of hours with a couple of people that I brought in, and we just practiced together. So it was really nice to be able to make that connection with her and be able to take our practice kind of outside of that environment.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is really helpful.
Yeah,
so
we have to figure out. I think
introducing people, just having
I think we're going to work on doing kind of, this is like the show about Technory now, but like, you know.
That's cool.
I think we're going to work on creating these meetups again. We've done a couple sample ones in 16. We're going to do more in 17 where like maybe every quarter we invite all the founders and all the people. You know, we'll do open public ones where everyone who comes to Technory can go.
Sure.
But truly, like, that's what the networking event beforehand is for.
Sure.
I think if we did more meetups where we said, listen, I'm going to invite a bunch of VCs. I'm going to invite a bunch of people who have sold companies and crushed it. I'm going to have one speaker, but I'm going to invite anyone who's an alum of Technory. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to come to our meetups at any time. Just RSVP and we'll go.
I love that. And then also if you share that data with who's going to be there.
Because
that way
let everybody know.
And I love that, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's really, that's sort of where we're heading towards. It's just, you know, it's, as you know, it's hard to get a million things lined up at one time. And yeah, right. Go
I don't
figure.
Know what you're talking about.
No idea.
I have no experience with a million things.
I know these founders these days.
I know.
So
we're lazy. We're super lazy.
Super lazy people. Well, you are a founder and you have an awesome company. You did pitch and pitch well.
Thanks.
So let's get into sort of what FetchFind is for the people who didn't show up to that event. Shame on you, first off. But
shame.
Right. I feel like, you know, very bad hombres. We got to get our Trump joke in at some point. We better be careful though, because I could turn this into like a Trump-a-thon like real quick.
Be a good audience for that.
This whole room will be a good audience. Who in the tech community doesn't want, even if you are Republican, it's fine. It's still, sometimes stuff is just funny.
Even when it's not supposed to be, which makes it even funnier.
I know. Like I was thinking about painting my face orange before the show, but I didn't think anyone would get it. So.
I would have gotten it.
Well, that's
good. I would have appreciated that.
Awesome. Well, next time I'll do that. So let's talk about FetchFind.
Okay.
What is FetchFind?
So FetchFind, now I will say that I will say a little bit of a precursor before
Please
I tell you what FetchFind is. So I am a founder, but I'm also a serial founder,
yes.
Not as in Lucky Charms, but as in this is my fourth company.
Yes.
And so I come to FetchFind as a founder with a tremendous background in the pet industry. And I think that's important to say, because as I talk about what the company is, people are like, how in the hell did you figure that out? So FetchFind is an e-learning platform that's helping to revolutionize the way that pet businesses, so kennels, boarding and daycare, are doing their hiring and their engagement of employees. Big turnover in the pet space, $64 billion industry with 125% annual employee turnover.
Yeah, you mentioned this on stage, and I laugh. I actually tell this story all the time. I was walking my dog in Evanston this weekend, and we had a couple of people. I have a Bazenji, so it's kind of a crazy-looking dog, and he's a crazy dog in general. And people kept coming up to me and asking me about the breed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, you know, we'd love to have this, but we're not home from this time to this time, so we need caretaking. Like, what things should we worry about or pay attention to? And that reminded mm-hmm. me of you on stage saying, you know, everyone thinks it's amazing to be a dog walker until you have to pick up shit all day. Then it's not funny.
I mean, that's exactly right. And so what you get is this really romantic notion about, I love animals. I want to flee my cubicle. I want to go start my own pet business.
Yeah.
Then they get into it. They meaning new business owners.
It's
in the
fleas
pet
and bags of poop. And
it's, forget that. That's actually the easy part, right? So that's the easy part. What is really difficult is managing a team of people who don't also understand that. So you get folks that come to the pet industry to start these companies really bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and really excited. And then they realize that, number one, you're working with a different species and you're trying to manage a relationship between species and, well, humans and dogs and cats. But then you're also having to manage people who know nothing about the industry. And so FetchFind was developed to create that bridge of information so people can have some support. Business owners can have the support to be able to hire the right people, keep them trained, and keep them there. And that's really at our core. We are a SaaS product. You know, we basically, we're a monthly membership for pet businesses to be able to use our education to keep their staff engaged.
Very cool. As you mentioned before, having founded and been through multiple companies, and of course I know the background story of sort of how this came to be and the company came to be, but what were those? So most of them were in the pet space, correct?
All of them were.
Yeah, all of them there. So like, how did you manage to, I guess, I don't know how the best way to frame this question, so I guess I just kind of throw it out in pieces. How did you manage to recognize, here's an opportunity in the space that I want to capture? Okay, we tried to get it, but we maybe didn't hit it all the way. So that was another opportunity that takes a little bit from the past opportunity that we can kind of like build a bridge, so to speak, if this makes any sense.
It does.
And get yourself to this point.
I mean, I think it does. I mean, I've had two exits, right? So I sold companies. So I built a company from when I was 24 to 30, 25 to 30, sold that company. That's a national franchise dog walking company.
And then you stopped at age 30 and continued growing for the next 10, 12 years, but you stopped aging, which was the miracle.
I did. I'm really only 29.
29. My mom is 29 as well.
Amazing.
I'm 32, but she's 29.
It's a phenomenon, really. So after I sold my first company, I realized that there were other opportunities in the pet space that I wanted to explore. Not just walking dogs or not just taking care of them, but really wanting to get more, you know, more involved in that, in the relationship component. So that's where I became a dog trainer. started that dog training company, grew that to 11 locations and 20 dog trainers. After 11 and a half years, I sold that company because I knew the opportunity really was in the B2B space.
Yep.
You know, I saw my colleagues, my friends, you know, suffering and struggling through how do I find employees, how do I train them? And so that's where we really knew we had the opportunity. It was a matter of figuring out, I think I'm answering your question, to figure out where was the true opportunity, because that's really a, you can, that's really a service platform, because
yeah,
it becomes
sure.
kind of consultative.
It goes back to like that old kind of idiom of like, does it solve a serious, serious problem like, you know, bludgeoned wound, or is it just sort of a Band-Aid? And you can see how that could be.
And we wanted to make sure that wasn't the case.
Correct.
And so what we did when we first started designing Fetch Find is we, first of all, we recognized that there was a $500 million opportunity, because there's a, that's about how much companies in the U.S. are paying right now to find employees
Which,
and train
does
them.
That not just blow, it had to blow your mind when you
did.
Actually looked into it. Like
it,
that.
It did. I mean, I knew it though. Like I
yeah,
knew it somewhere,
but
to
still,
find the numbers
it's like
out,
a huge, that's a, when you think about like, it doesn't surprise me anytime I see how much money people spend on their pets. I'm one of them. I like spend every dollar I have on my pet. On Bure is my man. I do whatever he needs. But when I saw the number, when you talked about it on stage, I was like, are you kidding?
I mean, literally, if every pet business, which of course every entrepreneur comes in here and talks about, if everyone bought that, if every pet business just bought one of our products, you're talking about almost $100 million in annual revenue, which is just like this little teeny piece. But then you have to remember that these pet businesses are struggling with more than just hiring employees.
Sure.
They're struggling with everything from software to web to financial services. And so there's nothing. It's also super fragmented. So what we really have recognized, you know, and people are coming to us now, which has been really fabulous, is, hey, you know, you've got this great platform. You've captured the customers. What else can we sell them?
Yeah.
What else can we help them with? So
yeah,
that's been where we're going. And that's really kind of blown up our opportunity to bring us to, you know, more in the $1.5 billion a year as far as what our opportunity
yeah.
is. And that's a global opportunity too, because listen, the U.S. is not alone here. The pet economy across the globe is massive.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, Brazil spends more than we do. Japan, Israel. I mean,
I don't think people actually think about that, like in all reality.
Well, I do.
We know you do.
I do. And that's been really exciting for us, because I think when, you know, for me, when I started the digital company, I'd never had a digital company. I was thinking really small,
yeah.
you know, because I didn't know and I was afraid and I had all of these questions and just thought, well, maybe if I just make this little thing and charge a little bit of money and I can do, you know, maybe 10 or 20 grand a month in revenue, that would be this really wonderful lifestyle business.
Yeah.
But then as an entrepreneur, it really, it's on you to
all
start
of a sudden,
looking
it's
beyond
all the things
that.
Start clicking, you start seeing, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's very similar. And we, you know, this is a unique, as you know, technology is a unique animal, I guess, in this.
No
in this,
pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Got it.
I'm sorry, how about this? It's a unique sushi roll, because that's our logo.
Lovely.
But it's just our job, our mission, our job of what we're supposed to do is to build a community around technology and innovation. I think we've done a great job of harnessing the power of a community.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you see other people popping up, throwing events and random stuff. And it's like, when I meet with sponsors, like, well, I just met with this other event company. It's like, it just like makes you twitch, because we're not an event company. We're a community
right.
company. We're a part of the fabric of this, of Chicago's tech and Midwest, really.
Yep.
And so as an entrepreneur, I take over the reins and I look at the opportunities and I see where we could go and work with high school kids and to mm-hmm. mentor them so they know how to speak and go to their interview for college and actually present themselves properly. We can go to campuses and talk to entrepreneurs who have never had a job yet about what it's like to not make the big mistakes early. We can throw events for big companies to show them
That's
what
right.
a startup looks like.
That's right.
You know, so we figured out, or I should say figuring out.
It's always but that's always
yeah.
the case, right?
Well, yeah,
you're
hope
always
so. Good companies,
it.
I think, are always
you're
figuring
all,
it out.
You never figured it out.
So
ever.
my question to you with this is, how have you managed to stay focused on the mission and continue to push Fetch Find in the, what I would probably just guess is like 70% of your efforts are probably in one like main area.
Our core.
And right. then you've got sort of 30%, 20 and 10 sort of split across, you know, long range growth and something in the middle that's maybe a little bit more like attainable right now that you see as somebody else in the market is jumping on and you want to make sure you don't lose out on. How do you do that and still maintain focus on the main piece?
Well, and let's not forget, too, just to throw another wrench in that story, is that I'm also in the middle of doing our seed one round. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
also in the middle of raising
750. And that's the other part. Is like
right.
a lot of people don't realize that
oh.
we're not doing that kind of a round. It's more of just trying to raise a little bit of cash. As the entrepreneur, you are always
fundraising.
It's like a politician.
It is.
I mean, you know, not an orange one,
right.
not an orange politician, but a normal run-of-the-mill politician without, well, we still lie, but just like less so.
Less. I think what we're doing is that we're always in opportunity mode.
Always, right? Campaigning.
And that's the thing. You're always, when a good entrepreneur is always in opportunity mode, looking for opportunities, hearing about opportunities and thinking about them. But to your point, staying true to your core business. And for us, our core business is a $59 a month subscription that we can sell to anyone in the world.
Yep.
Right. And so we get that and we understand what that means, what the economics are around that. We understand what our opportunity is. But without going into details, we've had a couple of inquiries from global publishing companies who want to buy our content for
it. I'm sure.
And that's just happened. And we're like, oh, and so like my mentors at Prosper in St. Louis are all over this. They're like, Jamie, do you understand that that could make up, you know, truly millions and millions of dollars of revenue,
yeah,
you know, monthly,
yeah,
if you're able to close these deals with all of these organizations? And they're big organizations who are coming to us now. And so I think, you know, again, going back, our core is selling a subscription, developing a, you know, a sales process that is sound with the shortest cycle possible. And then, of course, not just customer acquisition, but customer success, building that in, right? We're a sales organization, number one, around our content. Number two is what else can we do with that content?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And, you know, for the old white-haired man who's listening to this podcast, I want to liken this to the golf course industry because that's one that I know well. When I first heard about your company, I actually said this to, I think it was Bennett, who was producing the show at the time, that it reminds me of golf courses where they're all very disjointed. There's like men's club and there's family club and there's country club. And then there's like independent course. And then there's little courses, private courses, public courses. And they all just sort of run amok. And there's no, they sell golf balls, t-shirts, branded clubs. Like they've got 1,000 brands in there. And some are about teaching you how to play golf. Some are driving ranges. Some are courses. It's like all this stuff. And not a single person who's in that industry, for the most part, until, you know, maybe recently, has any idea about marketing, any idea about accounting, management, sales, supplies, nothing.
Yep.
And so you would go to these courses and each one of them would look the same in that the customer, you know, treatment was garbage. And they also looked completely different because there was nothing uniform.
That's right.
And a lot of companies, marketing companies popped up, not a lot, there's a handful out of Florida that have popped up and said, listen, you guys don't know what the hell you're doing. We're going to create this sort of, here's a portfolio of all the different things that you pick and choose off the menu what you need. And now they're subscription and they are crushing it.
So that is a great analogy, Scott. Yeah. That is a fabulous analogy.
I wanted to make sure that 65-year-old white dudes knew exactly how to get a hold of FetchFind.
Thank you.
And I think I did it.
Good job, dude.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. But for the rest of the people who want to get a hold of FetchFind, where do they go to find out more about it?
Well, we just launched our new site today. We're so excited. Literally like an hour ago. What time?
Oh,
yeah, about
awesome.
An hour ago. So FetchFind.com.
Very cool.
Any business owner can find what they need, and pet owners also. Listen, we recognize that we can't forget about our pet owners. So without wanting to dilute the message too much, we did buy a two-sided marketplace called Pawed In a couple of months ago.
Very cool. Congrats.
And so thank you so much. So today is really the day that we've kind of shown that to the world. And so it's really a two-sided marketplace that we are also able to offer people who are looking for services from the businesses. All right. So we help to support the businesses that are using our education and putting them out there on our platform saying, hey, Scott, if you're looking for a dog walker, a veterinarian, a trainer, these are the folks that we've approved as FetchFind approved because they're using our education. So that's now live on our website as
awesome.
Well.
It sounds like we're going to have to update our slide on the Hall of Fame of companies that have been on stage at Technori because you guys are just absolutely crushing it.
It does feel really good. It feels like we really get what we're supposed to be doing and how to do it. So
very cool.
It feels good.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
I love being here with you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Scott.